Good morning. Every time when I sing that song 568 by Mimi, every time it leads me to recall her face in my mind. This is the song we've been singing for quite a few years. And I do believe now our sister is with the Lord. She doesn't need this song anymore because she is seeing our Lord daily. But what about us? Are we satisfied with what we have right now? Or we are like the first song sings, more, more, and more. A couple of weeks ago, few of us have a chance to have a meeting to talk to some young brothers and sisters. And then out of that meeting, one thing still pop up in my mind all the time is one or two of the brothers say that they find they have some difficulties in their service. No matter as a song leader or leading in a fellowship or teaching Sunday school, they said, I do not find that I have a right relationship with our Lord Jesus, with God. So how can I serve? Of course, I still remember right at that point of time, I said something. But I think that is not too edifying at that time, because it is too direct. But this question keep on staying in my mind, saying, if our relationship is not correct with the Lord now, how can I serve? So gradually, the Lord revealed in my heart, it is not about our relationship with the Lord. It is about how much we know of our Lord, how much we know about God. If we know Him, then we will not have this kind of question anymore. Because if we know Him, He will be everything. He will be our help. We do not have to look at ourselves anymore. But the point is, how can I really get to know Him? Sometimes we take this word know at par value. Just like, I know Sam. I know Sam Law. Of course, I know Sam Lee also. Where's Sam Lee? Up there. Okay. I know Cindy, but that is not that word know in the Bible. Since we have really young brothers and sisters here, so I will not go into really extensive meaning about it. But basically, know have a meaning of deep and thorough relationship. Deep and thorough relationship. To know someone is not just like know Sam or Sam Law, okay. I know his parents. And that's it. I know he lives in Burnaby. Oh no, Vancouver. Burnaby? Burnaby. Okay. So close to boundary, so I always take that is Vancouver.
That's it.
But how tall is he? What year is he born? I know he is really slow. But what kind of food he likes? I don't know. Do I really know him? No. I know Cindy. She is a nurse, and that's it.
Okay.
Do I really know her? No. So, our God, how much do we know him? We know that he is God. He is our Savior. He died on the cross for us. He shed his blood that to wash away our sin. He was buried. He was risen. Now I accept him as my personal Savior. Full stop. That is it.
Is that no?
It, obviously, that is not
no.
We know that God wants to show us more of himself every day. Are you seeking after him with all our strength, all our might? Do we spend time with our Lord, our God, which will re-energize us daily? Or just a daily ritual? Feels like it is my duty to do the devotion in the morning, read some Bible, and then meeting time, I come to meeting, whether it is on time or not on time. Sunday morning, I come to church. Repeatedly in the Bible, our Lord tells us that he has no appreciation of those half-hearted pursuits by us. But he really, really wants us to pursue after him wholeheartedly. Just like in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. I do believe it is a very famous and familiar verse among us. Some of us can memorize it, maybe even quote it quite a few times. Even Jesus, when we read Matthew, he quote it in chapter 9 and chapter 12. He used it more than once. Well, we all know that if anything mentioned in the Bible more than once, usually it means it signifies its importance. But actually, what does it mean in here? God said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Knowledge of God, of me, more than burnt offering to me. What is sacrifice? What is burnt offering? Is it good? Well, of course. You are willing to sacrifice. You are willing to offer to God. It couldn't be bad, isn't it? But the point is, that's it enough? We get up in the morning, before we go to work, we go to school, we read some Bible. Okay, we look at the schedule. Okay, today is 2 Kings chapter 2, let's say. Oh, long chapter. But I bite my lips or tongues, whatever the description. I read through the chapter before I rush out to work. And that's it. When meeting times come, it is 7:30, so we rush off out of the door after we finish our supper at 7:15. And we arrive at the meeting either on time or late. And that's it. Do we really just sacrifice and offer our burnt offering to God, like a ritual, like the Israelites in the Old Testament. They do it morning and evening, morning and evening. And that's it. God said, no, I desire mercy. I desire the knowledge of me. Not those outward ritual things. Don't get me wrong. At least those outward ritual things is, to a certain degree, is good and correct. But God desires more. He desires mercy. He desires the knowledge of Him. So today, I will try to emphasize on that point, knowledge of Him. Just like what I said, do we actually know Him? If we say, oh no, then no. The next question is how? How can I truly know Him? How can I truly have a deep and thorough relationship with Him? So many times we say things that we think that we know, we understand. So many times we interpret things that we understand. How to know Him? First, we have to come before Him honestly. That means no pretension. If we think that, oh, I know it already, I know you, God, okay, I do not need any more of understanding. I thoroughly know you. Then God will not reveal any of Himself to us. We have to come before Him, oh, honestly, deep search inside of us. Ask us ourselves how much I know Him. To be honest, I think every time if we do that self-searching, I do believe 100% of the time we have to admit to our Lord, no, I do not really know you. That is the beginning. That is the start of our growth to know Him. He is omnipresent. He can see through us whether we have a sincere and genuine heart or not. And we must understand we have to rely on Him. Not only the first point, we have to come before Him honestly. The second point is we have to rely on Him. Rely on Him means I cannot do anything. I cannot understand Him by my effort. I cannot do it myself. I have to rely on Him. Just like in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we all remember the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. At that time, she has no children, no son. So he was provoked by the other wife. She was very grieved. So even her husband cannot comfort her. So in verse 10 it says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anger. Anguish. She cannot do anything. Even her husband cannot do anything for her. So God is her last resort. So you didn't say that, okay, nothing I can do, so just let it be. Just like sometimes we think that our relationship with our Lord is not correct. Okay, let it be. I will sit and wait to see what will happen next. That is not Hannah. That is not Hannah. What she did is, she went to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord. She wept before our Lord. So many times, when we are deeply troubled, when we go before the Lord, we can't even say anything. We may just sit there, stand there, kneel there before Him. But we cannot say even a single word. But one thing we can do, we can wept. We can offer up our tears before Him. It is a total reliance. It is a total signify that I cannot do anything. I do not know what will happen to me tomorrow. I cannot find my way out. But Lord, I come to You. You are my Lord. One time I said in the fellowship, sometimes we say, Lord, 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 okay, He is our master. But when things happen, we just throw this master out of our window and say that, you can't do it. Let me handle it. We are too strong, brothers and sisters. We are too strong. It is our human strength. But like Hannah, she came to her end of her ability. She got provoked. Even her husband cannot comfort her because the husband cannot do anything. But she came before the Lord and prayed and wept. We should understand that we must regenerate our power from the Lord, not from our own. When we rely on ourselves once again, we are looking for approval from man. We're always looking for someone to notice us. When we rely on the Lord for our strength, it is someone like say, Lord, here I am, use me. Someone like Samuel, when the Lord calls upon him, he just stands before Him. If we come before Him like this, for sure, our Lord will comfort us. The third point of how can we know Him is we have to have our interest in what interests Him, our Lord. If God like hockey, we like hockey. God likes soccer, we like soccer. God likes us to go before Him, we go before Him. God likes us to have a private time, meditate before Him, we go meditate before Him. God likes us to read Bible, we read Bible. God likes us to serve Him, we serve Him. What is your desire for the spiritual insight and godly wisdom now? Is it just stagnate? It means not going anywhere? Or go downward? Or go upward? What is your situation now? If it is stagnate, not going anywhere, or it is going backward, now it is time for us to ask God to restore our longing for Him and for things that most concern Him, not us. So many times we are too self-centered. We always look at what I want to do. Oh Lord, I want to serve You in this area. Lord, I do not want to serve you in this area. Lord, I want to come to this meeting. Lord, I am too tired. I do not want to come to this meeting. Lord, I can and read 10 chapters today because I am so energetic. Oh Lord, so sorry. I am so tired this morning or tonight. I will make up my Bible reading tomorrow. It is me, just like terrible two, right? Those kids always me. We are like those kids before the Lord. God tells us that His word is living. Even though it is constrained in the book, in the printed format when we read it. But actually His words, the scriptures are living. When we read it, it goes into our heart and start to germinate. It has those living power. Reading the Bible should not be just routine for us anymore. We should be able to read the same passage, the same story, the same instance over and over and over again in our lives, at every time we find something new from it. Because God longs for us to know Him. The fourth, we must know His word. Then, so many times we say, oh, well, then that is a very difficult thing. I just get baptized. Or, I hardly read my Bible. How can I know His word? I do not know the 26 names in the 66 names in the Bible. How can I know His word? But does God require us to memorize the whole Bible before to know His word? Does God want us to memorize the whole Matthew before we know His word? Does God want us to memorize his genealogy before we know His word? No, I don't believe so. God wants us to read His word. That is the first step. Read the Bible. You open your heart before Him. He has given the Holy Spirit inside every one of us to help us to interpret, to understand His word. He wants us to meditate. Brothers and sisters, meditate. Meditate on it. So we can apply it in our lives. Maybe this morning, or tonight, or tomorrow morning, or any time when you read the scripture, there is one word, one phrase, one sentence. Really, really fresh in your eyes. You keep that sentence, you keep that phrase, you keep that word and meditate on it. That is what God wants us to do. But meditate on it, the Holy Spirit will gradually, during that day, revealed more meaning of that phrase, that sentence, that word to us. And then quite interestingly, I found it so many times we can apply it in our daily lives for that day. Because God is merciful. He wants us to know Him, to understand Him, to know His word. Once we have an understanding of a part of the Bible, don't just say, oh, no, now I know it, and put it aside and forget about it. No, as I said, meditate on it daily. Let the Holy Spirit convict us And then we can apply it in our lives. The other word, we can live out the words. And when situation comes, we may be able to use those words to help others. We can teach others, to share to others. And then, when we go back to the Bible, when we read it again, we have different meaning to us. We will have different interpretation of that word again. We turn that word from a dead word, from a surface word, into a living word in us. The fifth point is, you must observe God's characteristics and His way of doing things, or His ways. We have go through the Bible, when we read through it, we have to read the promises that God makes in His Word. Ask Him in our prayer to remind us how He has already worked in our lives. So many times we always look forward, look into the future, look into the uncertainty, and ask God, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do? But we seldom look back how God led us in the past. No matter through failure or success, or through things I want or I do not want. Look back. Why? Because by looking back, especially in times of heartache, to look how God has delivered us in the past. So many times, as I said, we are too often caught up by what He is going to do for me, but we forgot to look back what He has done for us in the past. God's provision is enough and everlasting for us. The sixth one is, you must accept His invitation and follow His command. After we read the scriptures, we meditate on it, we apply on it gradually, sometimes we will find that He has some demand on us. He wants us to serve Him. God is constantly inviting us to walk with Him. Give the Lord total control of our directions. You know, in our education system, we were taught to be independent. Okay. Maybe in your school, some of the teacher told you, if they are not Christian, they say that, now you turn 16, you are a grown man, mature lady already. You can make all your decisions. Since we are a kid, we were taught like that. No, that is not God's principle. God's principle is we have to totally give up our control of our direction to Him. It includes our decisions, our time, our talent, and our possessions. God will always give us the decision to follow Him or reject Him. That's it. It is yes or no. Everything else, it is up to Him. Live for God's acknowledging Him in all our ways. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, just like in Romans chapter 12. I'm not saying that to sacrifice on the altar to burn ourselves, boom, everything is gone. No. It is simply stated, honor our Lord with our whole self. My action, my relationship with others, my hobbies, my likings, my thoughts. So many times when we come before him, we find that, I do not know him. What are the ways that I can know him? So we may just ask around, I want to know God more. What can I do? What should I do? What I have just mentioned of the six aspects, just a guideline to start of our knowledge of him. No one can tell us how to know God but God himself. So the first step, going back to the basic, is come before him. Our knowledge of God grows as we increasingly recognize his love for us. God delights in our joyful praise and worship of him. Just like Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is also a very famous and commonly used scripture. And you get to know God in a deeper level. Our ability to trust and obey him will increase. We will find our life's fulfillment when you come to know and exalt God in all of our decisions and actions. Now we come down to some interesting things. Let's go to Second Corinthians, verse 12. Second Corinthians, chapter 12. Seven to twelve. Can I have Maria read for us? The last sentence, "For when I am weak, I am strong." I am nothing. I am weak, but I am strong. Going back to the question when I first started that brother raised, I am so weak. My relationship with our Lord is not correct, at least to him. So how can I serve? But the scripture here says, "I am weak, but I am strong." I am weak because of myself. I am strong because of him. Praise the Lord that he leads us to see that I am weak, So many times we are too strong to see that I am weak. I am Superman. I am a super lady. I really work hard in the office. I got promotion. I can do all things. Wow. Highly, we can see that I am weak. But somehow, in our life, especially in our Christian life, somehow, if we have a heart for our Lord, the Holy Spirit inside of us will lead us to a stage to see that I am weak. I cannot do anything. I am so weak. I cannot serve our Lord. I am nothing. How come the Lord wants to use me? No, get away from me, Lord. Just like what Peter said. Get away from me, Lord. I'm not worth it. But what Paul says in here, I'm weak, but I'm strong. Because he learned one thing. He learned one thing through what? Through what we have just read. God didn't take away this attack of Satan away from him. He just said, I have enough grace for you. Isn't it nice? Isn't it beautiful? We are no longer a superwoman. We are no longer a superhero. We are just nobody. But we can accomplish impossibles because of him. Just like Paul, God said, my grace is enough for you. So going back to that brother's question, my relationship with my Lord is not correct. How can I serve him? Actually, at that point of time, in my heart, I say, praise the Lord. Now he sees he is nobody. But don't just stay in that situation. Just like Paul, come to God. Pray to him. The scriptures we read, how many times where he went to the Lord? Geneva, how many times he went to the Lord? Three times? Okay. Is it a very familiar number? Three times? How many times in the Garden of Gethsemane, how many times Jesus prayed? Come on. You're all asleep already? Oh, I see the hand instead of saying things. Three times. Of course, the Bible scholar have a different interpretation of these three times. But as I said, when things happen more than once in the Bible, it signifies something. The important point is, no matter how they interpret it three times, the important point is we have to come to the Lord repeatedly, asking for deliverance. Ask him to help us. That is the way we know God. Not just say that, oh Lord, I am so weak. Help me. Good. And then you wait for a while, nothing happened. Oh, I am hopeless. So I will just sit and wait to see what is the next step. No. Both Jesus, our Lord, and Paul in here repeatedly go back to God. And then until he in here, both Jesus and Paul got answer. their request is not granted. Remember? But the result is to glorify God. So remember, it doesn't mean that we ask for something, God will give it to us. No. He is a sovereign God. He has His own way of doing things. You can ask, but it is not granted. But the result is to glorify Him. In Paul here, God said, no, I will not take it away. But my grace is sufficient for you. Then through that lesson, Paul can say that. I can boast about my infirmities. I can show everyone my shortcomings. When Satan attacked me, I can boast before Satan. When someone attacked me, I can boast before someone. I have no dark corners. I have nothing to hide. I just come before God as I am. That's why he can say, I am weak, but I am strong. Brothers and sisters, I am weak, but I am strong. Through him, by him, based on him, I am strong. Sometimes we ask and seek. We have a desire. So we ask. Just like lately, a sister come to me to share about her job situation. She wants some change. That is a desire. But just to keep the desire in my head, it won't help. We have to ask. We have to ask God. Now I have this desire. Should I do this? Is it from you? If it is from you, then give it to me. That is ask and seek by praying to him to ask for it. But God is quite interesting. If we have enough experience before him, sometimes we keep on praying, nothing happened. And all of a sudden, during our process of prayer, somehow God is talking something else to us. Going back to the, it is just an if. Okay, I do not know. Okay, I'm just saying it. Just an example. Let's say if I want I want to buy a car. So I have the desire. So in my prayer, I ask God, now I want to buy a car. So I buy a car. If that is so will, give me the car. And then, in my prayer, sometimes God will show up another thing. Looks like he totally ignored my asking. He just pointed out something else. Somewhat like, Aiden, so many examples. I don't know which one I should use. All these years in your heart, you have a grudge against that brother. But my prayer, I say, I will tell God, hey God, I am talking about a car, not that guy. I refused to talk to that guy for years. But God never give up. Whenever I come before him to pray about my car, the same question come up in the prayer. Then, if that is the case, then it is time for us to learn our obedience. God wants us to deal with us first before the matter that we pray for. So we have to comply with God's leading in us, because He only listens to those who obey Him. We have to learn to obey on small things and big things, important things. As I said so many times, we may have a thought to think that, oh, small things, we do not want to trouble God. I can handle it myself. No. He wants a total control of our decisions. And then, okay, I obey, I deal with that matter, I come up to that brother, I reconcile with him, ask for his forgiveness, and then I go back to him, I pray. And then, all of a sudden, maybe, one day, yeah, when I read the Old Testament, talking about Solomon have so many chariots. Chariots in the old days are cars, right? So, oh, God gave me cars now. So at that time, so okay, you give Solomon chariots, so now thank God you give me the cars. So I accept that car in my faith. Thank God. What is my thank represent? My praise. I praise God that He gave me that car. Even though I didn't even have a clue what kind of car is it. I praise Him for giving me and granting me that car. But quite often, you have the faith, you have the place of Him giving you the car, but you wait for 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, still no car. What happened? Okay, so now it is time for us to remind God, hey God, doesn't it, you promised me a car two weeks ago, 2 months ago. Remember when we read the Old Testament, Solomon reminded God, saying that, remind him about what? His promise of his father. Remember those verses? Solomon always remind God, hey, you promised my father David this and that, that and this. He remind God about that. What I have just spent that 10 minutes talking about that is this. Actually, it is one way to know God in our actual daily living. Think of it. Start from a desire in our heart. We put it in action in our prayer. We respond to God's request to deal with our hidden grudges against my brother. And then I get the promise from Him that He give my car. And I praise Him for giving me the car. I receive it in my spiritual eyes already. And then I remind Him that you have promised. That is one way. That is a way to know God. I still have a couple of minutes. I use an example by our brother Nee. He said, one time there is one full-time worker. He has a need to go to some place for a meeting. The total traveling cost to him is about $150. At that time, he only got $2 in his pocket. You know, in the old days, the Chinese full-time worker has no salary. So so the only source of help is from God. So he prayed to God, God, if you want me to go to that place to hold that meeting, I need that $150 as my traveling cost. So he asked. So after he prayed, he walked out the street. He met a friend, another co-worker. That co-worker told him that his family doesn't have food for 2 days. So God moved him to give the other co-worker $1, 50% of what he has. And then he said, okay, God, I have $1. Where is my $149? And then a couple of streets down, he saw a beggar asking for money. He said, oh, I only get $1. So he told the beggar, wait. So he go into a store to exchange that $1 into 10 cents. Okay, and okay, I will give that beggar 10 cents, then I will have 90 cents. At least is I have 90 cents. But after he gave him that 10 cents, a few steps later, God puts an uneasy feeling in his heart. Say that, why not the whole dollar? He said, oh no, God, the whole dollar, that I have nothing. But he just complied. He obeyed. He turned around, take out that other 90 cents to give it to the beggar, and turn around and face God, say that, now I have nothing, Lord. Immediately, his $150 burden is lifted. Why? Because all this time he is thinking, I have $2 in my pocket, I need this $148. He still depends on that $2 as a base. He still what? Depend on himself. Counting. 150 minus 2 is 148. Now he give out the whole $2 away. He said, Lord, I have nothing. So my only hope is to you. I have nothing. And graciously, the day before he start his travel, someone mailed him the $150. Of course, Brother Nice's example always have a good ending. It shows us the total complete reliance on him is the best solution. So brothers and sisters, everything in our lives, no matter it is our studies, our work, our future partners, our husband and wife, whatever, give them to the Lord. He will have the best arrangement for us. And to know him, how can I get ready to know him? It's a lifelong process. You may say that I know him today, but tomorrow you'll find that no, it is far from it. So it's a lifelong process. No matter you are 15 or 50 or 80, every day, every moment, we need to pursue after him. Okay, let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you that this morning you have led us to have this desire to know you. Not to know about you, but to know you. We pray that the Holy Spirit inside every one of us will arouse our interest to know you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus.